Chapter 5, Engaging with Influencers. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Passion is the key ingredient to any entrepreneur's success. In fact, you can get away with a lot more if you are passionate about something, even if you are actually wrong. Look at all the dynamic CEOs of tech startups that receive millions of dollars in VC money, round after eight-figure round, and have never turned a profit. Sure, there's power and appeal in the original idea, and there must be something in their projections, but what do you think sustains their investors' confidence? It's not referring back to the PowerPoint they saw 3 months ago. It's the passion of the team and the communication of that passion. How do you think Mark Cuban got so rich without his companies turning a profit? Okay, I'm dropping it now. Showing your passion for your company to other people does a funny thing. It draws them in and brings them along. Of course, some people are much better at this than others, and they often wind up being not only leaders, but influencers. An influencer isn't necessarily someone in the traditional media, but that's where many of them do wind up. Social media is another place where influencers find their audience. There is a common thread between all influencers, regardless of the topic. They have immense amounts of passion and communicate it often. Sometimes without a word. Anyone who experiences passion can recognize and appreciate it in others. If your passion overlaps with that of an influencer, they'll see it. They need to see it. That's just how passion works. And that's a golden opportunity to promote your passion. One more thing about passionate people. They're usually passionate about more than one thing. Hep Klopp is the founder of the North Face and a good friend. He's also the chairman of the SEV Advisory Board. He's passionate about the outdoor life, but also business and technology. When we first met, he recognized the passion I was capable of sharing, and we bonded on that basis. I often wondered what Hep saw in me, and I didn't really get it until I started to surround myself with other passionate people. Nick Woodman, the CEO and founder of GoPro, saw my passion when we met up in Sun Valley, and I saw his. Same thing with Andy Dunn at Bonobos. It's electric and it's epic. I didn't always realize how powerful passion was or how to channel it, but I do now, and I'm still learning. It can be overwhelming to some people, but it's the most valuable commodity for any entrepreneurial company and the CEO's highest and best use. How you communicate that passion is the most important part of the job. Robert Scoble and Guy Kawasaki are both major influencers who reach millions of people with their passion for electronics, entrepreneurship, and beyond. They also love Scott Ives because it's more than just an article of clothing with lots of pockets. It embodies the passion and drive necessary to bring something great into the world. I also count the Grammy-winning jazz visionary Herbie Hancock as a fan and a friend. He's as much of a gadget lover as I am, and we connected when he bought some SEV items years ago. Since then, I've visited his home where we talked about music and technology and Buddhism for a few hours, all topics that he's very passionate about. And it was even more cool than it sounds. Influential people are passionate people. Ignite their enthusiasm for you and your brand, and amazing things can follow. Like minds. Through the entire history of Scott Ives, I've been able to meet influential people who are passionate about the same things I am. Sometimes I sought them out, and other times we were connected organically or accidentally. But that connection around shared passions has always paved the way. If you are a passionate personal promoter, you'll find yourself in a lot of interviews with the media. Some will be boring. Some will be clearly about the reporter filling a space on a page with words or rounding out the gap between two commercial breaks. Just because someone covers a topic doesn't necessarily mean they love it. But when you engage in a conversation, note the words engage and conversation. With a member of the media who really gets it, it's magical. It's even more magical when it happens on camera. There have been so many times where I've really ignited the passions of someone in media and it came through on camera. This Week in Technology. The first time I met Leo Laporte of This Week in Technology, also known as TWIT or TWIT, he was on Tech TV with Patrick Norton. I had been going to Comdex, CTIA, and CES, all shows related to the consumer electronics industry, and meeting many bloggers and reporters. At first look, it could be hard to tell who was a big shot and whose audience consisted entirely of their mom and their cat. I didn't know anything about Leo, but I immediately liked him and we stayed in touch. It turned out that over time, a couple million other people liked him too. Now he and his Twit empire have their own podcast network and are one of the most influential tech media outlets. I've been on Leo's show many times, and the conversations are always high energy. There's generally a live version of his show and then a condensed tape version that is published as a podcast. Anyone can tune into the streamed version, and many do, and the conversation flows through the commercial breaks. We care about the same things and have opinions on the same things, even if we disagree. That's how passion works, and it comes across on camera. It's a long clip, but there are some great interactions in there. Over the years, he's bought stuff, and I've sent him stuff. All of his staff has at least some Scott Ives gear, and most of them wear it all the time. Lots of TV, stage, and film crews love our clothing because it's functional for them, durable, and looks good too. I don't remember ever seeing a podcast with Leo where he wasn't wearing something from my company. But why? It's not because I sent them some free shirts and jackets with his logo embroidered on it. It's not because he was trying to make some fashionista style statement. There are plenty of clothing lines out there that check the boxes. Looks good and fits well, functional, good price, etc. Scott Ives does all that and more, but so what? Hundreds of other brands check those boxes too. Leo wears Scott Ives because the passions that drive him, technology, gadgets, clever attention to detail, are the same passions that drive Scott Ives. It's not a nameless, faceless brand. Influencers are moved by things they feel a connection to, just like most people. We speak the same language, and when you get us talking, it's hard to get us to stop. It's even hard to get him to stop talking about Scott Ives when I'm not there. Get two passionate gadget fans together with a camera rolling and throw in the topic of Scott Ives, and you're in for a show. Don't believe me? Watch this 9-minute clip of Leo and the gizwiz Dick DeBartolo, another gadget addict I've known for over a decade, going on and on about one of my jackets. ScottEves.com/LeoVid. What's the big idea? There was a great interview show on CNBC called The Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch. Donnie is chairman of one of the world's most innovative and best-known ad agencies, Deutsch Incorporated. They've come up with commercials and campaigns that everyone remembers, and they're still considered to be among the most creative agencies. Donnie is a very influential guy. His show was on the air for a few years and always got solid ratings because it gave the entrepreneurs stories behind their brands. Guests on the show were entrepreneurs who had the big ideas and went on to turn those ideas into success. It was a fantastic show, and what really set it apart was how passionate its guests were. Of course, I wanted to be on it. Well, me and everyone else. I wrote them emails, I called them, I reached out through contacts for a few years, nothing. Then, one day out of the blue, I got a call from the producers of the show. They had seen an article about me and Scott Ives, and they wanted me on the show. I asked if my multi-year campaign to get on the show had finally worn them down, and they had no idea what I was talking about. It proved to me that getting press is the best way to get on TV. You just need to have enough stories to tell to keep them interested. I flew to New York for the taping and had a great time. I met Donnie on air, so when I unloaded all my pockets, his reactions were genuine. I pulled out a camera, a GPS device, a book, an iPod, a BlackBerry, a magazine, travel documents, sunglasses, a Camelback water bladder, and I showed off the patented personal area network, too. At one point, Donnie said, "You could really blow this up. This thing could be hundreds of millions of dollars." I was, for the first time on a major TV show, able to give the demo I had given hundreds of times before. It was essentially the same demo I would give years later on Shark Tank, but on The Big Idea, it wasn't left on the cutting room floor. Donnie got it, and not only saw the potential of the idea, but was able to understand and communicate why it was successful. My enthusiasm fed his enthusiasm, and vice versa, and by the end, we were on fire. Better yet, that passion came through to the audience. It was a massive opportunity for Scott Ives, and that single TV appearance generated more sales than any other TV appearance, even though the audience couldn't have been more than a few hundred thousand people. Herbie Hancock saw the episode, and that's how he found us. Many other influencers I've met over the years watch that show too. Passionate people like to see people being passionate. I was invited back to be on the show again a couple months later, leading up to the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, to be on a panel with other experts, including Tim Ferriss. Donnie really liked my energy on the show, and I thought it was a good opportunity. I was glad I committed to losing 25 pounds after seeing myself on the show the first time. Initially, I hadn't even planned on going to CES, but I figured I should change my plans since I would be talking about it, no real product demo the second time, and it seemed like the energy wasn't as good as my first appearance. That can happen when you're on a panel and feel like you can't get in a word, but I still wanted and needed to do it. You can't build momentum if you stop after your first victory. Know your customers. It's a business cliche to say know your customers, but when I say it, I mean to literally know your customers. At least know their names. It doesn't matter if you're a small business or a large business, some of your best opportunities will slip by you if you don't know your customers. Any customer can be an influencer, and you might not even realize it. I use the analogy of being like a neighborhood butcher shop. My customers come in and I learn their names, what they like, what they need, and do what I can to serve them better over time. At Scott eVest, there is someone who looks at every order. That someone is my wife, Laura. Laura scans through every order and flags people for me to reach out to. She's noticed influencers and celebrities such as Amy Tan, Herbie Hancock, and Woz this way. She's flagged media members including Greta Von Susteren, and Greta and I have been in touch now for a few years. Sometimes, we even see competitors ordering items. Hint, if you're going to spy on us and don't want us to know about it, don't have it delivered to your corporate office. Laura's mind works like a machine. So over time, she's been able to pick up on trends, identify the best customers by name, and even get to know them a bit when there's been some interaction. I've spoken to quite a few fans on the phone or through Skype, and I'm convinced that this level of attention and caring is what makes our fan events not only successful and well-attended, but fun. Part of knowing your customers is also caring what they think about your products. In the earlier days of Scott eVest, I would follow up individually with customers. Now, we've reached a volume of sales where we need to automate that process, but my email address is on each follow-up. I want to know what they think. When it comes to media samples, I would usually follow up immediately after their delivery tracking was updated. Contextual responses are powerful. I love to hear someone's first reaction when the package is delivered, and I've witnessed more than a few unboxings by influencers. I love immediacy, and I love honest first reactions. That's a great way to get to know someone. While you're getting to know your customers, they're also getting to know you too. Michael Mann, the director of Heat, Ali, Collateral, and Miami Vice, both the TV show and the film, was a good customer when we first moved to Sun Valley. He had loved our 3.0 system, which was a multi-pocketed fleece jacket and an outer shell, and called me up one Sunday to ask about getting them as crew gifts. Honestly, I didn't know how big he was, but I was happy to help him. He still reaches out every so often when he's working on a film and orders Scott eVests as gifts for his movie crew, friends, and family. Whatever you sell, you will probably have famous, influential fans at some point. How many restaurants, diners, and delis have you been in where there's signed photos of celebs on the walls? By all means, use this to your advantage as appropriately as possible. Just don't be a douche about it. Just remember, no one likes a liar. Maybe I'm fortunate, but I'm not capable of lying. I'm a bad actor. I barely have any filters. And growing up in an environment where so much of what I was told was untrue, I have no tolerance for lies. I'm totally transparent, even when it's not in my best interest. I'm WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get, for better or for worse. When I deal with an influencer, I keep their confidences. When I send out a press release to a reporter under embargo, meaning it can't be published until a specific date and time, I expect them to honor the agreement. Sometimes it can be fun to play with things that are off the record. In a conversation with a professional reporter, it's like a cone of silence drops down around that part of the discussion in almost a magical way. That can be fun, and doing that from time to time can build trust between you and a reporter. When I become personally close to an influencer, I am hyper aware of the limitations and boundaries of our friendship. I treat people, regardless of how influential or famous they are, like real people, and I don't use them. Anyone can be in awe of a celeb, but seriously, they're just people too. Be yourself. Connections with influencers aren't and can't be all about the money. A friend of mine, Thomas Hawk, is an insanely well-known and well-respected photographer. He's as passionate about it as I am about Scott Evest, and our careers overlap in many ways. He's done some amazing photo shoots with me, and he does it because he loves photography and respects me. He knows it's not about ROI. Every fan can be an influencer too. If you're being asked to spend $1,000 in samples to someone, yeah, you need to see how influential they are with hard numbers. Subscribers, viewers, fans, followers, something. But there are many influential people out there who you've never heard about. These subtle networks that spider out from certain people form the foundation of social media. And if you're not engaging people with it, you're not a passionate promoter. When I first started Scott Evest and only had a couple samples, I needed to find a way to get photographs of people wearing my products. Of course, since they were on pre-order, this was pretty tough. That's when I came up with the idea of the Vestibule of Fame and Vestimonials. Did you really think I would be above making some terrible puns? Every time I would go to an event, a trade show, or even a walk around the block, I would wear my Evest 1.0 and bring a camera. I was showing off my invention constantly, and if the person I was speaking with was in the 50% who got it and didn't try to spray me with mace, I would offer to let them try on the vest. When they did, I would ask if I could take their picture wearing it for my site, and they almost always said yes. I wrote down their email address and name and sent them a copy of the photo minutes later. I posted it to the Scott Evest site along with their comments, also known as testimonials, also known as vestimonials, and those hundreds of photos formed the Vestibule of Fame. I even awarded points to customers for forwarding their photos, my newsletters, and other referrals to their friends, and would have a drawing each month with a chance awarded for each point. It operated a little like an ethical pyramid scheme, because the first people to participate got extra chances to win based on the number of people they referred down through several generations of referrals. It was a pretty advanced social media sharing platform before such a thing really existed in the mainstream. I also engaged customers by including their pictures as vestimonial cards in my physical products from the very beginning. Drawing connections between fans and products in a real physical way through photographs was a powerful component to the buzz around Scott Evest. We still include vestimonial cards, and we update them frequently. The vestimonials and our other pocket cards were even discussed for uniqueness in Rohit Bhargava's best-selling book, Personality Not Included. Over the years, I've met and interacted with some super fans, or in some cases, just fans who have liked our product for a long time. Getting to know them through social media is fun, and the relationship sometimes goes beyond just occasional comments on Facebook. Sometimes we butt heads, but the goal is to be authentic in all contexts, so that's okay. George Pereira and Dave Ciccone are two fellow gadget lovers and Scott Evest fans who fit that mold. I was and am convinced that if Scott Evest could get our fans on our side, they would help promote us to their friends. A few years ago, we even did an all-fan catalog. We requested travel photos of people wearing Scott Evest from everyone on our email list and only used fan-submitted pictures in a 32-page, full-size catalog. This catalog was sent to everyone on our mailing list and was included with every product purchased for about a year. We received some feedback on social media that we were being cheap by not hiring models, but in all seriousness, it cost a lot more to use the fan pics. We received thousands of photos. Some were of amazingly professional quality, but most needed a lot of work. Fans loved it. We wanted to engage our customers and put their face on our brand, and we succeeded. The ultimate fan was. Just like the interfaces on the first Apple computers he designed and built, Steve Wozniak, aka Woz, is WYSIWYG, as in, what you see is what you get. If he likes something, he says it. If he doesn't like something, he says it. He does all the things he believes in with a humble, nonchalant enthusiasm that can be surprising. And, as far as I can tell, his core is made up of learning, teaching, kindness, cleverness, and the pursuit of fun. If there is a Zen icon of cool in my world, it's Woz. I'm happy and lucky to call him a friend. I first met Waz after he bought something from Scott Evest years ago. Knowing that he was a customer is directly due to knowing who our customers are. Laura spotted his name, and reaching out to him was something I couldn't pass up. I had been an Apple fanboy since I was a boy, or at least boyish. My first computer was an Apple IIc, and once the world of the iPod and iTunes opened up, I had no need to ever use a PC again. It really felt like I made it when I knew that Waz had some of my creations. He was like the Pope, President, and rock star of technology all rolled into one. I had to email him, and in my world, there is an incredibly short gap to jump between having to do something and actually doing it. I sent him a brief note, telling him I was a big fan and was really happy he was a customer, and that I hope he liked the products. I expected a response, but I thought it might be a one or two word reply and come through his assistant 3 weeks later. The reply I received about 4 minutes later blew my mind. The SEV is the perfect accessory for an iPod. Waz was a fan of me. Incredible. Waz, the advisor. Through subsequent emails, I asked Waz to join the advisory board, and he accepted. In some ways, it felt like the ultimate validation. I was no longer just a gadget guy selling clothing. Waz recognized all the deeper purposes and value of Scott Evest in the same way that I did. It was awesome, and it felt revolutionary in my life. From time to time, I would send him questions for which I wanted his feedback, and he was always prompt, honest, and thorough in his responses. I've already told the story of the iPod spoof and how Waz offered to be in it. Let me reiterate, not taking him up on his offer was one of the dumbest things I've ever done. After my appearance on Donnie Deutsch, Waz sent me an email, unprompted. Dear Scott, I have to tell you how much I admire you for your entrepreneur story as well as your products. I can't remember when I saw such a great interview. I speak about the Apple story, but yours is much more relevant for all the budding entrepreneurs out there. Everywhere I go, there are dozens or hundreds of hungry faces of people who would love to hear your story. I am a true fan of yours, and I'm going to send that video to my list. I can't tell you how proud I am just to know you. Highest regards, Waz. Holy shit. This is Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, and he says nicer things about me than my own family ever did. Okay, that's not such a stretch considering my family, but you know what I mean. I am proud to admit, I cried like a baby out of utter joy, and that joy lasted for days. Nothing else mattered. I contemplated sending him a full, heartfelt response, but in my typical fashion, I opted for speed versus completeness. I asked him if I could use his email publicly, and he said sure within about 20 seconds. That message from Waz is the only email I have ever printed and had framed. Second bite at the apple. Wazisodes. One of the most important things I do every day is follow up. I look back at flagged email threads, blue sky projects in our Basecamp project management software, and calendared events. I have a system for revisiting past topics, and while it drives my employees crazy sometimes, it's a major part of our success as a business. One day, I revisited the iPod spoof and Waz's willingness to participate in it, and it sparked an idea. We should do more spoof videos, and this time, they should star Waz. This was the genesis of the idea that came to be known as Wazisodes. Things came together pretty quickly. Concepts flew back and forth. What should we spoof? James Bond? The Matrix? Star Wars? We wanted the vignettes to be fun to shoot, funny, and have some sort of tech angle. And of course, a connection back to Scott Evest. With not much more than what I just described here, I floated the idea by Waz. If he was unable or unwilling to do it, the entire concept would need to change. Waz was not only willing to do it, but he thought it would be great fun. He was all in. He even had a few hours free one day a couple weeks later when he would be in LA. This could not be more perfect. Now all I had to do was put together every single detail making this happen. Until Waz said yes, this had just been an idea. Now it had to become an event. The shoot. The scramble leading up to that day of the shoot was pretty intense, but nothing we haven't done before. At least this time I had some employees and contractors to help me move things along. We pretty quickly found a shooter editor who had some decent creative chops and local assets in LA. The weeks leading up to the shoot were filled with logistics meetings, scripting, planning, and finding support crew. Waz would be the star, and I would be the co-star. We also hired an actress who was versatile and attractive enough to pull off a Bond girl role and a straight role equally. All in all, the team seemed to be pretty good. If the shoot went as smoothly as the prep, we would be in business. I flew to LA from Sun Valley the night before the shoot and made my way across town to the address of the studio. I can't recall exactly where it was, but it felt like a weird part of the city. Not necessarily dangerous, but it wasn't Hollywood. That was fine, since I was paying for it, but when you can't even recognize what language the signs over the convenience stores are written in, that's a pretty clear indication that you're an outsider. The studio turned out to be more of a dingy boxing gym. Not quite as bad as the one in Rocky, but close. It could clearly be used as the set of a low-budget, coming-of-age, cliché boxing movie about a kid from the streets who learns to box as a way to stay out of trouble and eventually makes it big. In fact, I could probably write the script for that off the top of my head. Good thing we weren't actually going to be seeing any of the surroundings, since everything would be shot on a green screen. After checking out the location, I went out front and saw Waz and his assistant cresting a hill on their Segways, zipping down the sidewalk toward me. It was pretty unreal, like a sunset scene from a Western, played in reverse, and on Segways, in LA. Okay, bad example, but it was pretty cool. As Waz came to a stop with the flourish of an expert Segway rider, he hopped off, shook my hand, and we hugged. There was a point when I realized I was hugging him too tight and for a little too long. He was proudly wearing Scott E. vest, head to toe. After years of fandom and emailing, this was our first time meeting in the flesh. In fact, all of our interactions had been through email up to this point, not even a phone call. I was actually pretty nervous, not to shoot, but just to meet him. I don't think he knew just how much of an influence he had on me. What I did not expect was the calming effect Waz has. He put me at ease and reminded me that we were there to have fun. We did. The Wazisodes. The premise of the Wazisodes did not change from the original concept. We were going to spoof some movies and scenes within the context of Scott E. vest, fill in the blanks with stuff we made up on the spot, and have a blast doing it. Mission accomplished. There was a lot of activity on the set with the director, shooters, steamers, grips, lighting people, and actors. We barely had any scripting, but we knew which scenes we wanted to spoof. Star Wars. Waz was dressed in a black hoodie covering most of his face as Darth Vader. He delivered his line, "Scott, I am your father's mailman's cousin's sister's friend," as the camera cuts to me, missing a hand. The Matrix. Waz slips into bullet time to avoid gadgets being slung at him in slow-mo. Waz loses all his stuff in our "Dude, Where's My Car" spoof. Of course, he finds them all again in his Scott E. vest. Waz Bond had him face off against henchmen and save the day. And Waz became a genie in a magic 8-ball, was an elusive Bigfoot hunted by Sarah Palin, had his gadgets stolen by a giant fish, and was shown in a few other random situations. We shot scene after scene on green screen so the backgrounds could be digitally added in later. Half the time, all the time, we had no idea what we were doing, since everything seemed very abstract. We had faith that the director and crew had the plan, and Waz went along with every idea, no matter how absurd it seemed at the time. He's a much better sport than I am. What's the difference between a Mac and a PC? The shooting day was going to be about 6 hours long, and when we broke for lunch, I had hoped I could pull Waz away into a remote corner of the room and pick his brain for a while. After all, this was the first time we met in person. I didn't expect what transpired next, but it made me respect him even more. He sat down with everyone else, the crew, the director, the actors, everyone, and we all ate together. He was the whole reason we were there, but there wasn't a hint of him acting like the talent. Absolutely genuine WYSIWYG. I have never been as calm on a set, any set, as he was that day. After lunch, there were people coming up to say hi to Waz, whether they were directly involved with the shoot or were just sort of around. On some level, I engineered this whole event to get to work with Waz, and he was just as generous with his time with me as he was with everyone else. Then, something happened that I will never forget. There was a janitor at the space who had been moving around the periphery, picking up some pieces of trash from lunch, and doing things like that. He looked like he could have been homeless, or he could have at least been convincingly cast as homeless on TV. "Excuse me, Mr. Wozniak. So when you changed from Windows XP to Vista, I hated it. I couldn't figure out how to use the computer. Why did you do that?" I was only a few feet away at the time, and I froze. I felt embarrassed even just hearing the question. What the fuck? Well, Woz didn't miss a beat. He didn't even look annoyed or taken aback at all. Over the next 10 or 15 minutes, I watched as Woz patiently and excitedly explained the difference between a Mac and a PC, how different operating systems work, and why they evolve over time. There was not a shade of condescension in his voice, and he spoke in a way that was not only clear and informative, but pretty damn inspiring too. He didn't slam PCs at all. I remember thinking that this is what greatness looks like, even as I started to get concerned that our filming time was slipping away. He treated that janitor like he was the most important person in the room, and he didn't do it just to put on a show. It was just Woz, the janitor, and me. I think at his core, Woz loves to teach, and he's incredibly good at it. I also think that he's a good human being. After concluding shooting later that day, I did get my chance to sit and talk to Woz. There was an auditorium attached to the building, and we sat back in the seats and discussed life, business, and beyond. I was very eager to see the results of our shoot and to share them with Woz. So much was to be done in post-editing that it seemed okay when scenes felt disjointed during shooting. It would all come together in the editing suite, allegedly. While I think that a lot of what we created was okay and some of it was good, it definitely could have been better. The production values were okay. The visuals added in post were all right. But there was a lot more potential in the raw materials we created than wound up in the final product. That's when it hit me. What if we repackaged the Wozisodes as the raw material for a green screen video contest? Everyone with basic video editing programs can participate, and it would be awesome to see some other perspectives on making the most of this footage that Woz had given up a full day to create with me. I wanted a fun end product that was worthy of the time and intention invested. And so the green screen contest was born. We provided all of the unedited footage, along with various other assets as the raw materials for the contest. In the end, we received over a dozen entries that ranged from groan-worthy Cub Scout skits up to rather sophisticated and well-produced attempts. I'm pretty sure at least one of them was made while the editor was taking LSD. As much as I thought the original cuts fell short, I think the contest entries redeemed the experience. We live-streamed the announcement of the contest winners, and one of the videos received over 80,000 views on YouTube the last time I checked. The entire Wozisodes experience was one of the coolest and most unique events of my life. We've crossed paths several times since the Wozisodes. Every time, and I'm not exaggerating, every single time I see an image or a video clip of Woz, he's wearing Scotty Vest. Okay, other than when he wears a tux. Whenever a new iPhone comes out, you'll see him in line at the Apple Store to get one, wearing Scotty Vest. After he appeared on Dancing with the Stars, Woz was interviewed on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, wearing Scotty Vest. While I do send him new stuff from time to time, he's under no obligation to wear it, let alone anywhere he might be photographed. He is truly a fan, and that means more to me than any level of influence he might have on people exposed to him. But since I am a passionate, shameless, personal promoter, I can't say I mind. A couple of years ago when we were announcing a new product called the Tropiformer, I had an idea involving Woz. The Tropiformer was a mashup jacket vest. It was as lightweight as a product we sold called the Tropical, with magnetically attached sleeves from another product called the Transformer, hence Tropiformer. The name was meant to be an internal name, but we didn't have anything better when it came time to print the hang tags, so it stuck. I also knew that despite co-founding Apple, Woz was publicly on record as having said he was a fan of both the iPhone and Android phones from competing companies. He would carry and use both for different purposes, and he would do it all in his Scotty vest, so why not get some photographs? Woz likes to stir the pot every once in a while and say and do things that are controversial. He was all for having his photo taken with an iPhone in one hand and an Android in the other. Due to tight schedules, I wasn't there for the photo shoot, but he worked with a photographer Woz liked and trusted, so we got some great shots in our then brand new product. Someday, I vow to get a photo of Woz imitating that iconic Albert Einstein photo wearing a Scotty vest. The birthday invitation. I was lucky enough to get an invitation to Woz's 60th surprise birthday party from his amazing wife, Janet. If you ask anyone who knows me if I can keep a secret, they'll say no. I'm just too transparent. It really is hard for me to keep secrets, particularly fun ones like this. But I did it, and Woz was truly surprised. The party was in San Francisco, and I planned a trip around it. Amy Tan agreed to be my date for the night, and she wound up also being my camera woman for the video blog post from the party. Woz even makes an appearance in the video, but it's a little hard to hear him over the band. After bouncing from conversation to conversation for most of the night, Amy turned to me and said that she thought she was probably only the third most notorious person there after Woz and me. A few hundred of Woz's closest friends and associates were in attendance. And when the microphone was taken live and people began to tell Woz stories to the crowd, I had to get in on the action. I told the story of the janitor at the Woz That Sewed filming day and looked out at a crowd of people who already knew Woz and watched as they nodded along. It wasn't an uncommon thing if you know Woz. Surprisingly, few people came up to the mic to tell a Woz story, but the subjects of their stories were remarkably consistent. After my turn at the microphone, Woz came up to me and thanked me, perhaps a little sheepishly. If I learned one thing from dozens of interactions that night, it's that Woz has absolutely no one to impress, and that's why he impresses everyone. Endless generosity. Woz is Scott Evest's ultimate fan, and I can say without hesitation that his inspiration and guidance have helped me to become a better entrepreneur, and more importantly, a better person. He's someone I want to be like. If I've learned anything from his example, it's that being humble is one feature of a great leader. It's something I'm working on. Regardless of the economics, regardless of the day-to-day struggles, Woz lives a passionate life. He loves great code and great design. He told me he still is the original handwritten code for the first Mac operating system. He is as passionate about gadgets as I am, and he revels in the fact that people using gadgets today can be as passionate about them as he was creating them. My most sincere thank you is owed to Woz, and certainly not just for being my lifeline call on Shark Tank. From freedom to fun, he is a constant inspiration, and I'm honored to count him as a fan of Scott Evest and a friend. Brands can be influencers too. As I learned by playing doubles tennis with my wife, having a good partner can make all the difference between winning and losing. That's why I've chosen to team up with other brands from time to time. While the economic details of a strategic partnership can't be overlooked, from the promoter's angle, it's all about the audience and expanding your own. From the early days of Scott Evest, I pursued relationships with companies doing cool, techie things that related in some way to clothing. I wasn't about making money directly from the deal. In fact, if nothing happened beyond getting press and using their influence to grow my audience, that would be enough. Cybernaut developed wearable computers in the early 2000s, and Scott Evest was the best way to carry them. Elexon created soft buttons that could be sewn into clothing and control devices, and the pan was the perfect way to connect the two ends. When we created the solar jacket, we didn't try to create our own solar panels. We found a company that already made them. In fact, you could even put our tech licensing deals with VF Corp and other clothing manufacturers in this category. The money changing hands was nominal next to the exposure potential of working together. While Scott Evest is mainly a direct-to-consumer brand, we do sell our products in various travel stores around the U.S., in a few international stores, and through select online retailers. ThinkGeek is our largest online reseller, and we've been doing business with them for over a decade. While their super geeky copywriting and product selection are appealing, what makes them successful on their own is also what makes us successful together. They speak the same language as their customers and share the same passions. We love it when they bring us into the same conversation, and together we're a potent force. We've even collaborated on product launches, like the Tropiformer jacket, and we cross-reference each other in press releases and media mentions whenever appropriate. They love our products, and we love their audience. It's a good fit. The clothes on their backs. When a brand chooses to provide their products to their employees with the company logo emblazoned on it, I take that as a pretty good sign that they like and respect our stuff. When Intel, Microsoft, and Symantec, among many, many others, ordered hundreds of Scott E-vests at a time, I let the world know through press releases and my big mouth. My favorite part of working with those companies was that they sought us out, not the other way around. In Sun Valley every year, there is something called the Allen & Company Conference. Allen & Company are wealth managers, and while their conference is not heavily publicized, it is attended by just about every billionaire in the U.S. Not kidding. Google it. And guess what? They buy Scott E-vests for each attendee. We've been featured in the Nike Museum. Yes, Nike has their own museum. It's part of a yearly event where they show off brands they think are inspirational to them. Nike is inspired by Scott E-vest. Pretty wild. We've been shown in Disney's Epcot Center as part of an exhibit of clothing of the future. Anything you can do to engage with brands and foster a connection is always a step in the right direction. Influential names. Celebrity endorsements have been a part of the advertising playbook for centuries. But as a passionate promoter, I don't think of a celeb endorsement as the best go-to plan. Partnering with a celeb is a totally different story because it provides the opportunity to have a win-win situation where one of the wins isn't defined solely by the money you pay them. Scott E-vest has partnered with some great brands like Leo Laporte's Twit on branded merchandise, and we've gone beyond that with Andrew Zimmern. Andrew is the host of Travel Channel's Bizarre Foods and other shows, and we met in person at a travel trade show when he was doing a presentation. He had been a fan of our products, and I was a fan of his show. Earlier this year, we launched a special edition Andrew Zimmern Road Ready Travel Vest based on a product already in our line. It gives Andrew something new to talk about with his fans, and it's a connection that our audience appreciates as well. Win-win. And it wasn't based on paying random actor X to show up, smile, say a few lines into the camera, and get a paycheck. It's an organic connection, and it feels as genuine as it actually is. We took things even further with the number one New York Times bestselling author, Brad Thor. Brad writes thriller novels, and we happened to meet at an event in Sun Valley. He knew about our products, and over the course of the next year, we developed the Brad Thor Alpha Jacket. It was a product development from scratch, which is very costly and can take a long time, but it was worth it. Brad helped secure some major media coverage, and we engaged our audience. Together, the first run of jackets sold out in record time, then the second, then the third. If you can connect with a celeb or brand that has their own stable of influencers, and you can tap into their audience as well as your own, the sky is the limit. If you have fans like Waz, Hap Klopp, Peter Shankman, and several other public figures who are fans of Scott E-vest, be sure to invite them onto your advisory board. The obligations on them are minimal, but if they care enough about your brand to advise you, then you should acknowledge them for it. Vendors. Every company uses products or services from other companies. When those products or services consistently perform well and you grow to enjoy working with them, why not tell the world? Likewise, if a vendor of yours is going through their own marketing and promotion efforts, as any company that wants to stay in business must do, why not have them write about you? It could be a very easy way to get some added press and to be associated directly with other great brands. We've been approached by Google a few times to be the subject of a beta test or a case study with them. The first time was to test a new display mechanism on the Google AdWords platform. And most recently, we worked with the Google Chrome team on a white paper about a new feature they rolled out and wanted to test. Sometimes, being a guinea pig is a great way to get some additional brand exposure. Even if you don't have a long-standing relationship with Google, you can still get in on the action. We run A/B tests on our site all the time to see how variation A performs against variation B. Why not work with one of your vendors on some A/B tests and write a press release together if it works? This type of real-world information gets written about all the time by online trade journals. Sometimes, exposure is exposure. I try to be the go-to source for quotes with my top vendors as well. When Adroll needed a quote about the effectiveness of their service for a profile in Incorporated magazine, I was happy to provide them both a glowing review and hard statistics. They deserved the praise, and they knew that whatever I said about them would further the perception of their brand. Thanks to Adroll and their PR team, Scott Ives got another major mention in Incorporated. But Adroll had to know that they could rely on us to tell the right story. More about what they do, retargeting, in the next chapter. I have a great relationship with Stella Service and some of their employees. They rate the performance of customer service teams for online businesses, and it's not just their job, but their passion. When Scott Ives' CS team was rated extremely well by them, it opened a conversation. Since we're passionate about providing great service, we bonded and go out of our way to mention each other wherever appropriate. The Stella seal is on our site, and they have referenced us in articles for the New York Times and other places. Leveraging your vendor's efforts can be as simple as providing a quote and a photo, as we did as a testimonial for Live Chat Incorporated, who provides the best live chat service we've found. It can be pretty involved, too. We've produced videos for our A-B testing experts, Frictionless Commerce, our quality control company, HQTS, and even for our e-commerce platform, Miva. Miva sent out a crew for a day to shoot around the office and interview me pretty extensively, and the video turned out amazingly well. We both promoted the hell out of that video and got a lot of mileage from it. What made it an effective piece is there are hard stats in it, not just compliments. It also helped that Miva was using the information in a case study that painted them in a better light than a competitor, one which we had worked with before. Trust me, the NetSuite story could be a book unto itself. Don't go near it. If you don't have vendors beating down your doors to get endorsements, just ask them if you can provide a quote, soundbite, or stat for their use. It never hurts to have more brand friends influencing their audience on your behalf.